be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So today we're going to talk about hope. Now, it's part of this sermon series that Pastor Kevin introduced last week called Needful Things. And in this series, we're taking a look at some things we need in our lives, things that God has to offer us as Christians, things he has to help us with. And these things are kind of specific in what the need is. And the need is bringing light into a world that so often is dark. The need is making the world we live in, our relationships, our communities, our homes, a little more like Christ intends them to be. And last week, Pastor Kevin, he talked about having a thicker skin and the benefit that can have in our relationships, in our communities, in our churches. And today we're going to talk about hope, a buoyant hope, a hope as a life preserver, something that keeps us afloat in distressing times, something that can help keep others afloat. And hope is so important to having that thicker skin. And we're going to use Romans chapter 5 to do it, where Paul talks quite a bit about hope and hope in any circumstance. But we're not going to start with hope. We're going to start where Paul started, and that's where we should always start, and it's with Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans 5, verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That first phrase, "therefore, since we have been justified by faith," it's where it starts. If you wanted to rephrase that, you could say, "since Jesus died for us," since he has done this for us, because of what he has done for us, we have peace with God. Now that phrase, "we have peace with God," is something I think we sometimes take for granted, that because of Jesus, we have a right relationship with God, that because of Jesus, we have a good standing with our God, and that we have access to him in prayer, for forgiveness, in worship. But more than that, he calls us his own children, and it's because of Jesus, because of what he did for us on that cross. It starts with Jesus. And living in peace with God, living in peace with our Creator, it's a pretty good place to be. And because of that, because we live in that peace, we rejoice. As Paul tells us to in verse 2, "through him we have also obtained access by faith in this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Living in this grace, having access to God, it's a pretty good place to be. It's the place we get to live in as Christians. That's why elsewhere in God's word, he says, "rejoice always, regardless of the circumstance," because no matter what the circumstance is, we live in this peace. We live in this peace and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Our gospel text from John chapter 14 talked about that hope of the glory of God, that place Jesus has gone to prepare for us. And the way is simple. It is through him and what he did for us. We rejoice. And it is good that Christians rejoice. It's part of the Christian life to rejoice in this hope and in this access to God and the peace that Jesus provides. But Paul doesn't just say to rejoice in the glory of God. He doesn't just say to rejoice in the fact that one day you're going to have eternity with Jesus Christ. But Paul says something else that's maybe a little more difficult. He says, not only that, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Rejoicing in suffering. Now, that's a little more difficult. It's a little counterintuitive. It kind of sounds like an oxymoron. Rejoicing in suffering is hard for us to grasp, to grapple with. And it's hard for us to grasp because this isn't what the world does. This isn't how our world thinks about suffering. The world, when it comes to suffering, avoids it. The world does not think suffering is something to be embraced. The world thinks suffering is something to be avoided at all costs. To the world, suffering has no purpose. Nothing good can come from it, no meaning. Instead, our world embraces a philosophy of doing whatever it takes to put an end to suffering. Run from it, hide from it, remove it from your lives. Anyone who you know who causes suffering in your life, cut them off, get rid of them. The far extreme of this philosophy, this idea of cutting off suffering, is to take your own life when suffering seems incurable and inevitable. In our culture today, in many places, it is becoming legal and encouraged to do so. It's legal in many places to help someone do just that, to put an end to suffering, to run from it. The point is, our world does anything but rejoice in suffering. Our world does not understand or have the ability to endure suffering, much less what Paul says for us Christians to do, to rejoice in our sufferings. But he still says it. It's God's word for us to rejoice in our sufferings. So how is it different for us as Christians? Well, it's not that we want suffering and we try to prevent it. And I think God's word speaks to that. God's word says, work hard, save your money, take care of what God has given you, your body, eat healthy. I think all those things fall in line with what God tells Christians to do as people who love and thank him for what he's given us. Preventing suffering is part of the Christian life. So it's not that we want it to happen. It's also not that as Christians we suffer less than anyone else. We don't. We suffer too. We suffer physically, we suffer mentally and emotionally, we suffer spiritually. If anything, Christians may suffer more than the rest of the world because we've got an extra temptation as those who are in Christ who Satan wants to pull away from him. And as Pastor Kevin talked about last week in his Thicker Skin sermon, there are sometimes persecutions that are a direct result of being a Christian. Christians suffer. So suffering is not different in the life of a Christian because we want it to happen. It's not different in the life of a Christian because it's any less. But it is different. What's different is how we view suffering. What's different is how, when suffering is going to happen, and it is going to happen, how we handle it. Because there is a promise in our text today. There's a promise in God's word when it comes to suffering. And that promise is not that it won't happen, not that it will be any easier for Christians, but the promise for Christians is that God will work in the suffering, that he will create purpose for it, that he will do something with it, that suffering will not be in vain for one who is in Jesus Christ. There's a famous verse in Romans chapter 8 that says this, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And we know that in all things, including suffering, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, this verse, it says a lot about how God can and will work through suffering in our lives. But I need to talk more about that verse, because sometimes we misunderstand this verse, the idea that God works for good in all things in the life of a Christian. Now, that's true. But often we see it in the wrong way. And most of our misunderstanding of this verse comes from the fact that we sometimes have a different definition of good than God does. Sometimes what we think is good is not what God sees as good in the bigger picture. And oftentimes we look at this verse that in all things God works together for good for those who love him. We see it as, in regards to suffering, that when suffering happens, God is introducing it into our lives in order to steer us somewhere, in order to get us away from that smaller door that wasn't as great and get us to that big, other, shiny door that he really wants us to take. Sometimes we look at suffering as something God introduces in order to give us something better, something that we deem as better. Now, there's some problems with this. Sure, God can work that way, and sometimes he uses suffering in just that way. But the biggest problem with this understanding is thinking that God creates the suffering. You see, God doesn't create suffering. we do that. Our sin creates suffering. And now understand what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that someone who suffers, who has a terrible cancer diagnosis, is suffering because they committed a sin so grave that this happened to them. It's not that way. Jesus makes that pretty clear when his disciples asked him who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind. That's not how our God works when it comes to suffering. But all the same, cancer and every other disease and every other form of suffering, it's a direct result of sin. Our sin. When we broke the system at the very beginning, when we decided to go our way instead of God's, the system broke and suffering entered in. God does not create the suffering. We created it. And now it's part of the picture. Now suffering is part of the human life on earth. It's not caused by God, but it's caused by us. And to think that God simply introduces suffering in order to give us something better is a little bit of a misunderstanding. Instead, what we need to see, the God who Scripture reveals, is not a God who creates suffering, but a God who responds to suffering. A God who does something with it. A God who takes it and redeems it for his purposes. Because suffering by itself, it's just suffering. It's just pain and disease and sickness and emotional hurt and eventually death. Suffering on its own is pointless. Suffering apart from Christ has no purpose. The world honestly kind of has that part right. But in Jesus, it's different. In Jesus and those who are in him and know his promises, suffering becomes something more. For those in Christ, suffering becomes something that is purposeful and useful. For those in Christ, God literally promises to take it, redeem it, and create purpose for it, to use it, to equip us, to mold us, to prepare us. Paul puts it this way. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Through suffering, God can do these things in our lives. Through suffering, God produces in us the ability and power to continue, to endure, to exist in a difficult situation without giving way. And being able to do that creates character in us, a character that knows, with God, I can get through this. With God, I can do this. Why? Because God's got me through other things before. Because maybe God has gotten me through more difficult things in the past. Because he has always been faithful. And sometimes because I've seen God get someone else through this. I can't overstate that point. That sometimes there is a witness given in suffering. That sometimes the work God does through suffering is not for us, but for the person watching. When we have endurance as part of our character, when hope is central to our lives as a Christian in the midst of suffering, there is a great witness given. You see, when it comes to suffering, when it comes to God's promise to create purpose in it, sometimes that's in our own lives. Sometimes it's in this molding, preparing and equipping, creating endurance for us, helping us to create a character that is based and centered on Jesus. Through suffering, God kind of redirects our idolatry. He points us away from the things we so often rely on, the things that are shifting sand, the things that cannot be stable forever, and it redirects us to Christ and his love, the one thing that will never change, the one thing that is stable. In suffering, God works in our hearts. But it's not just for us. Suffering is not just something God works through for that person who is suffering, but for those around us. If I were to ask each of you here today, has God ever worked in your life through someone else's suffering? If I were to ask you, has God ever made a positive impact as you watched somebody else rejoice and their suffering, as you watch somebody else who had confidence in Jesus, and that confidence and joy became infectious. You see, we have many members in this congregation who are great examples of this, who have chronic and incurable pain, and yet they endure, and yet they rejoice, and yet they continue to hope, and yet they show character. They rejoice and thank God for what he does to sustain them and what he does for them every single day. And those people, as you know, are powerful witnesses to all of us. God works in suffering, in us and in others. Suffering produces endurance and character, not only in ourselves, but in those who we touch. Now, this character we talk about, it's the character of a Christian. And the character of a Christian is centered around our needful thing for today, that hope that we all so badly need, a buoyant hope that keeps us afloat when everything around us seems to be sinking, but also where there's room for others to grab a hold. You see, hope, the hope we experience as Christians, it's not just wishful thinking. It's not just having a positive attitude. It's not something that's abstract. But our hope always has an object. It always is directed at one thing, at Jesus and what he does for us. Romans 5 says this, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." You see, hope in Jesus, it never puts us to shame. The other way of translating that verb, shame, in the Greek is disappoints. Hope in Jesus never disappoints. The object of our hope is our God, who is able to do amazing things, who keeps his promises. And we hope in those promises. We hope in our God because we know he has the ability to work in the midst of suffering. We hope in our God because we know he has the ability to redeem suffering and to use it for good. But also, we hope in our God because he has the ability to bring suffering to an end. Our God has the ability to bring suffering to an end. And in Jesus, for those who put their hope in Jesus, suffering always ends. It always ends with him and his work. And this happens in one of two ways. Either by his grace and mercy, he ends suffering here. He provides healing. He provides reconciliation, renewal, rebuilding. We see it in our lives often, where God works to bring about healing and end suffering. He gets us through it. Or suffering ends in the way all suffering ends for a Christian, in his greatest act of grace and mercy on the cross, when he literally brings life out of the midst of death and gives to us that perfect inheritance which he promises for us, eternity, without sin, without suffering, and not just the chronic suffering that plagues us, those obvious thorns in our side, but also without the suffering that we've grown so used to that we don't even notice it anymore. That is the eternity he promises us, an eternity without the broken system we created for ourselves, but in his perfection. So much we can't even imagine it. You see, a Christian views suffering differently than the rest of the world, because a Christian realizes and recognizes God's promise that says suffering is temporary. It's not permanent. It will not last forever. It is only a blip on the timeline of our eternal existence. Suffering ends. And then we have the promise of that until it does, God will use it. He will work in it. He will create purpose for it. We don't need to run from it. We don't need to hide from it like the rest of the world does. We don't need to avoid it at all costs. But rather, we simply give it to God. And we rejoice in the midst of it, in the hope he provides, a hope that does not put us to shame, a hope that does not disappoint. We are confident in the promises of our God and the promises of Jesus Christ. Now, when it comes to suffering, Jesus is more than just our God. He is more than just the deliverer of his promises. and his grace, but he's also our example. He lived in the same world, in the same broken system, and he did everything he asks of us here. He endured, he had character, and most of all, he hoped in God's power to save. And in his suffering, God worked. God worked to create hope and to create good in each of our lives. In the suffering of Jesus Christ, God worked for the good of all people. So when Paul says rejoice in suffering, he means it. Because while suffering is going to happen in our lives, while on earth it's going to happen, we know that our God is in the midst of it, working, redeeming, creating endurance, character, and hope, not only for us and our own lives, but for those around us. And you know, when we talk about needful things in our lives and our relationships and our communities, what could be more needed than hope? Just look at the world around us. So many people live without it. So many people live without hope. So many people live without hope that our political situation is ever going to get better. So many people live without hope that this pandemic and the things that are happening because of it are ever going to end. So many people live without hope that their lives are ever going to get any better. So many people live without hope that they or their loved ones will ever be cured of the things that plague their body. So many people live without a hope to keep them afloat. But we don't. We, as ones who know Jesus and what he's done for us, do not live without hope. We have a constant and unwavering source of hope in our God, who has and always will deliver. Let us resolve to show others this hope. Let us resolve to make the hope we have in Christ so evident that our ability to endure suffering is baffling to those around us. Let us resolve to have a character so centered on Christ and his promises that others are forced to take notice of it. Let us have a hope, a buoyant hope, that keeps us afloat no matter what is going on around us, but also where there is room on that life raft for others. We rejoice in all circumstances because of the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Hope in our God, hope in his promises, and yes, even hope in the midst of suffering. Because in Jesus Christ, all things work together for good. Because in Jesus Christ, every day has a purpose. Because in Jesus Christ, suffering ends. And because in Jesus Christ, we know without a shred of doubt that our last day here, it's also going to be our best day. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ.